has to say concerning the questions that are on your hearts and mind today. This is a live call-in radio broadcast where you can call your questions, and we will do our best to let the Bible speak. The numbers to call right now is 308-9564, 308-9564. That is our question line. So if you call that line right now, chances are you'll be able to get in and ask your question. We'll write it down, and it will be brought in to us. If you prefer to go live on the air, that can be arranged as well. Just make sure you tell the operator that that's what you wish to do, to be able to go live on the air to ask your question. Again, it's 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Now, if you would rather go live, you can do that. When you call, just say, I want to go live, and we will put you through, and you can go live on the air. The only thing we ask is that you be ready to turn your radio down, and also tell the operator standing by your name so that we can address you and be courteous, and you'll know that we're talking to you when we put you on the air. And so that will be helpful to us when you want to go live on the air. Again, that voice line is 308-9564. Now, there's another way you can communicate, and that is via your cell phone through texting. We have a text line. If you would like to communicate this way, then you can as well. That number is 725-9283. That is our text line, 725-9283. And now there's a third way. If you are on the internet and you want to text us, you can go to our website, which is www.BibleAlone.com, BibleAlone.com, and there is a text box at the bottom where it says type your text here. Just erase that and write your question and send in your text question. It'll come to us directly here at the radio station. Again, that would be BibleAlone.com. As well, on not only can you text via our website, but you can also listen through our website. So if you have friends or relatives anywhere else in the world, why not text them right now, call them, and let them know that this is area code 843 in case they want to call, and let them know that they can tune in via our website, which is www.BibleAlone.com, and have them click live stream, and they too can be listening and in tune with us today as we go to the Bible for all the answers. If you have a smartphone, mentioning TuneIn, there is an app called TuneIn Radio, and you can also tune in that way as well. There's no reason why everybody cannot join us right now as we go to the Bible to let the Bible speak. Again, the voice line is available again. It's 308-9564. We have some questions from last week we're going to try to catch up on, and then we'll get to today's questions that you are calling in right now. The voice line is available, 308-9564, 308-WJNI is the voice line, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Nick, do you have a question?
Yes, we have a caller that called in last week. She was sent three bracelets from a person that said that they were a prophet. The first color of the bracelet was blue, representing spirituality, green for finance, and red for health. She received these in the mail, and she was to wear these for 7 days. And there's some other details that she was given along the way. Her question is, where in the Bible does it say that you have to wear bracelets or trinkets, etc., in order to be blessed by God? Well, we sure appreciate you calling this in. When we go to the scriptures, we don't find any passage in the New Testament as it pertains to Christians, as it pertains to the church, that they have to wear any bracelets or trinkets or such things in order to receive the blessings of God. There is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, a passage that talks about the blessings of God and where they live. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." So now Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he tells these Christians that they have received all these spiritual blessings, not because of bracelets or trinkets and things, but because it exists inside of Christ. And thus, if a person is in Christ, then they gain access to the blessings that he has to offer. And the Bible talks about the things that Christ expects us to do in order to be in a right relationship with him. We must do those things to gain access to those blessings. We sure appreciate you calling in. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308 9564. That is the number here at the station to ask your question. 308-9564.
308-9564. That line is available. The text line is available too. The text line is 725-9283. Another follow-up question from last week. We had CC text in this question, and their question is, I hear pastors say that the blood of the saints is on their hands. How can this be so if we no longer go through the priesthood of man for atonement? Well, CC, that is a really good question, and I'm not certain exactly what connection or what you've heard about that. As far as in the Old Testament, certainly the priesthood was involved with carrying the sins into the mercy seat and such. And in the New Testament, you're right, we do not do that. Christ now is the sacrifice that washes away sins, and so we must come through Christ. However, CC, there is a principle that is taught in Ezekiel 3, Ezekiel 33, and two or three other places in the Old Testament that talks about how that we are responsible for others. I'm just going to pick up in Ezekiel 33 and verse 8. It says, and when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will utterly die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from their way, the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. That principle that we are our brother's keeper, that we are responsible for those whom we know that are practicing and in sin, if we do not warn them that God is not pleased with that, then yes, their blood may be held against us, and we may be accountable for that neglect. Now, the reason I say that is because Paul himself looked at this principle with that kind of attitude as well. In Acts chapter 20, when he was talking to the Ephesian elders, he said to them that I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. And thus, in verse 26, he says, therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for he had done that. And so we must do all that we can to help people to come to God. Not only must we come to him, but we must help others to come to him as well. And if we do not, then yes, their blood may be held against us. And so that was Ezekiel chapter 33, the whole chapter. And also chapter 3 and 33, and then also the last verse was Acts chapter 20 and verse 26 and 27. CC, great question. I'm not certain that we've ever had anybody ask that question, so thank you so much for that. We sure do appreciate it, and thank you for listening. That says something about your heart. We hope and pray that you're getting a blessing as you're hearing what God has to say in his word. Don't listen to us. Don't listen to preachers. Don't even listen to your mama as far as life and godliness. Let's listen to God and what God says, because when we stand before him in judgment one day, it will not matter a bit what we say on the radio or what the Pope says or what any pastor says. What will matter is what God says. We've got to let the Bible speak. Thank you for asking your question. And we sure do appreciate your attention and your desire to know the truth. The number again is 308-9564, 308-WJNI. And I think we got a couple more questions, and then we'll get to your questions that are coming in today. By the way, the lines are available right now, so go ahead, call in your question, and we will let the Bible speak to your question even today. Nick?
Ben calls in last week, and this is a follow-up question from last week. He says, according to 1 Peter 5, verse 7, how do we cast our cares upon Jesus? So in 1 Peter 5, I'm going to start in verse 6 and verse 7, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And Ben's question is, how do I cast my cares, or how do we cast our cares upon him? So how do we accomplish that? What's interesting is what we read in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, and specifically verse 6, talks about this idea of not being anxious. And so the previous text says casting your cares upon him. The word casting literally means from the Greek to throw upon. It's the picture that's painted is like taking a garment and throwing it upon an animal or a colt, like as if you were going to ride that a colt. And so we cast our cares, we throw it off, we thrust it off of ourselves onto the Lord. And the idea is if I'm getting rid of my cares, then I'm not worried about it any longer. In Philippians chapter 4, and verse 6, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so the way to keep ourselves from worrying about these cares of life, the way to get rid of these cares of life is to put it at the feet of Jesus, if you will, to take it to him in prayer. And in this text in Philippians chapter 4, and verse 6, it says, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We take it to the Lord in prayer. Now, you may have heard a song, and I think it ends by saying, and leave it there. So we take our cares to the Lord in prayer, and we leave it there. Another passage in the book of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, Jesus says, come to me, all ye that do labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Another way we cast our cares upon him is by coming to him and learning of him. He wants us to come to him. He wants to have a relationship with man. And thus he takes on our burden, but likewise we take on his burden. And by contrast, his burden is easy. His burden is light. But we must first come to him. And that's how we do it, Ben. We have to come to him. We have to come to God in prayer. But we have to be in a right relationship with him in order for any of this to matter. We have to be in a right relationship with him. I have to be a person that have heard the gospel. I have to be a person that have believed it. I have to be a person that have repent of my past sins, Luke chapter 13, verse 3. I have to be a person that has made a confession of faith that I believe that Jesus is to Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon that confession, I have to have been a person who has been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Henceforth, now I can live my life the way God says. I can gain access to those blessings that we talked about earlier in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, those blessings that are in him. And then I can also have an avenue of prayer to go to God in prayer where he'll hear me because now I am part of him and I am coming to him. It is time for us to take our first break. But even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to continue calling in your questions. 308-9564 is the number to call. 308-9564. Or you can text in your question at 725-9283. Again, that text line is 725-9283. We'll be right back.
You are joining us as we go to the Bible for the answers. You are to be commended, and we thank you so very much for your desire to know the truth. And hopefully you are like so many people that we get to meet from day to day, that as we get to visit with some of you, that you're like one individual I talked to just a couple of days ago. He said, I see all of this stuff that man is coming up with, and I know it's wrong. And the Bible is the only way that I can know what's right. And we certainly appreciate his attitude, and we hope that that's your attitude, that you want to know the truth, because it'll be the truth that'll set us free. It'll be the truth that will allow us to go to heaven. It will be the truth that will turn our lives around to become what God created for us to be in the first place. And so let's find the truth. And the only place to go for the truth is God's Word. It will not be through modern day prophets who say they're prophets or those that are coming up with a special message that the Lord has laid on their heart something. It will be by truth that we will be blessed or that we will be cursed one day. And thus, we've got to make certain that we are living our lives on the side of the blessing, not the cursing. And if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we see in God's Word, what was preached back then God said we are to be cursed. Paul didn't have that right. An angel from heaven didn't have that right, nor do we. So, my friends, we make no apology about saying we're going to let the Bible speak to all the questions, and you're to be commended because of your desire to know the truth. And so let's go there, and we'll go there for the answers to the questions that are on your mind and on your heart. So go ahead and call right now. The lines are available, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. Nick?
And we have a caller calling in today. The caller says, can you use the Bible to help someone be healed from an addiction of marijuana? So here's a person that's addicted to marijuana. You know, can we use the Bible to heal them? And as I began searching the scriptures and kind of thinking about your question, I'll be honest with you, I got stumped a little bit from this perspective. If a person wants to continue in some activity, then they choose to do that, you can show them what the Bible says, but if they don't respect what God says, it's not going to have any impact on them. And so there are passages of scriptures that lets us know that this is not okay, and so we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But if a person has made up their mind this is what they want to do, there's not a passage of scriptures that's going to heal them. You know, God is not going to force us to do right, but rather we have to make a conscious decision, a choice to do right. But let's say here's a person that really wants to do right, and he's not sure what the Bible says on it, and so maybe you can use these scriptures to help him. The first passage is Romans chapter 13, which talks about us being obedient to the laws of the land. So we know that marijuana and pretty much all drugs are illegal. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. You keep reading in that text, you'll see that we are bound to hold to the laws of the land unless they violate God's law. Another passage that may be helpful is 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, where Paul talks about how that he would not allow himself to be brought under the power of anything. So the idea of not allowing yourself to be controlled by anything. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Maybe you can communicate to this person that by giving in to marijuana or any types of drugs, they're being brought under its power, under its control. They're giving up their control, and God demands that we exercise a level of self-control. The only person that should be controlling us is ourself, and that should be motivated by what God has said. So we allow God to direct our path, us listening to him and doing what he says. The final passage is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And this really has a lot to do with changing what we're thinking about. So here's a person that's doing marijuana. They think about the doing marijuana. That's all they can think about is the fun, the quote-unquote fun associated with marijuana or getting high. And so they have to replace that with something better. And I'll tell you what's better. It's the things of God. And so here's what Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, you know, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or if there is anything praiseworthy, he says, meditate on these things. And so this person has to change his mind and to not be thinking about drugs, but be thinking about good things, the things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are noble. And there are several passages that you can use to help a person to begin to think about the good things that the Lord provides. I hope that's been helpful to you. Again, those passages was Romans chapter 13, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 6, 12, and Philippians 4 and verse 8. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Those lines are available right now, so go ahead and call in your question. By the way, we want you to be mindful of what we mentioned in our first break there about the Bible Correspondence Course. We are more than happy to send this to you free of charge. We literally have thousands of you that are on these courses here in this area, and we are happy to send this to you. We will never ask for a handout or any kind of contribution or any kind of offering. It is our honor to share with you the wealth in God's Word, and thus we want you to be mindful that there could be some things in God's Word you have never seen before. Matter of fact, most of the people that we study with, that we get the opportunity to meet face to face, Just in no time at all of a sudden, they say, you know, I have never seen that before. Matter of fact, that includes preachers that we study with. Sometimes we get the opportunity to study with pastors or preachers. And thus, when we start going into God's Word, all of a sudden they start seeing this. They have this shock feeling, look on their face and saying, you know, I've never seen that. Even though I've read it many times, I've never seen that. And that very well may be because the God of this world has blinded our eyes that we do not see. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, I believe it is. And so we've got to make certain that we know what God says. And so this Bible correspondence course may be a tool to open your eyes to things that you may have never seen in God's Word before. But one thing is for certain, whether you enroll in it or not, we need to make certain that we are not going to be surprised on the judgment day. Because if we have not done things God's way and done what He says, well, here's what He says in Matthew 7. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name? Have I not cast out demons in thy name and done many wonders in thy name? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. They were not following God's law. They were following man's law. My friend, what are you being influenced by? What God says in His Word, or what man says that God says in His Word? Let's let the Bible speak, so when we stand before Him one day, He will not have to say those things to us. Let's find out what God says here and now. Go ahead, call 553-5157. Enroll in the correspondence course. We will send it to you absolutely free. What have you got to lose? Oh, yeah, your sin. That's important, isn't it? So let's go to the Bible on all the answers that pertain to life and godliness, and God will not let us down. Again, that number for the Bible course is 553-5157. We don't have a live operator. The computer will answer the call and also take your information. So just feel free to call that, 553-5157. But now the lines here at the station are available. If you have another question, go ahead and call right now here to the station. This is the voice line, 308-9564. We have a caller calling in this question. It says, this is actually another one that was left over from last week. It says, the Bible says, forgive your enemies. Once you forgive your enemies, do you still have to hang on or hang around them or be with them? And that's a really good question. And of course, you know that what God says in Matthew chapter 5, if we do not forgive our enemies, then forgive those who've sinned against us, then neither will our Father forgive us. So we must forgive. So what does this address? I think this sounds very familiar to what God addresses in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 and 33. Where God says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That word bitterness is the word that I wanted you to notice there. And the literal definition of the word has the idea of what we use, the modern definition of bitterness, which has the idea of having a taste that is sharp or unpleasant about. Causing a sharp unpleasantness, is painful, stinging, sensation, harsh, and there's many other things. And so if their presence with you is causing that, well, we first need to examine ourselves. Am I bitter toward them? And if I'm bitter toward them, well, God says, let it be put away from you. But verse 32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ also forgave you. Now, if the offense of those that sinned against you had to do with something in their behavior, such as child molestation or some kind of sexual sins or some other things, Well, then you just don't want to play with danger just in case. And so you might want to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You don't want to harm them, but you do not want to give them an opportunity to sin again against you. And so that would be smart or wise, but make certain that there's no bitterness in your heart toward them. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Thank you so much for your question, and I appreciate it very much, and I hope that has been a blessing to you. It's time for us to take our break, and we want you to know that we're about to tell you about the correspondence course again. There's not a live operator standing by, but nevertheless, the computer will answer and take your information, and we will get lesson one on its way to you, even in tomorrow's mail. So don't miss out on getting this. You very well may learn things from God's Word that are needed before meeting God face to face. And some of these things you may have never seen before, because the God of this world is possible, has blinded our eyes to those very important things. So don't think a thing about it. Just go ahead and get it, study it, send it back to us, and we will continue back and forth until you finish the course. And we're glad to send it to you. Here's the details on it. Even while we're at break, continue to call in your questions at 308-9564. We'll be right back.
Advantage of our Bible correspondence course that's free of charge. Again, those who have done it have found it to be very helpful. Many radio broadcasts, we talk about the Bible correspondence course with the intent that those of you who are seeking to, a better knowledge of the Word of God, or to enhance your relationship with God by coming to understand His will and His ways, that you would take advantage of this correspondence course. It is free of charge. All it is a Bible study that you would do in your home. We would pray that you would be able to take advantage of it and that it will be a blessing to you. If you are interested in starting this Bible study in your home, we send you the first course in the mail. You fill it out and you send it back to us. We grade it and we'll send you the second one in the series. If that's something that you are interested in, go ahead and call 553-5157 to sign up for that Bible correspondence course. Again, that's 553-5157. If in this life we miss out on heaven, we'll just miss it all. We cannot afford to miss out on the Lord, or to get our worship or our faith in Him to have that where it's not right in His sight. We have to know what He says, and the only way we can know what He says is if we were to study His Word. We encourage you to engage in the study so that it may aid you in having a better understanding of God. Again, the number to sign up for this is 553-5157. So join us right now here at the station to call in your questions. The number here is 308-9564, 308-9564, and it is our intent to let the Bible speak. If you prefer to text your question in, you can text us at 725-9283. That's 725-9283.
We are so thrilled that you are joining us and that you have a desire to hear what God says in His Word. And thus, we have a question coming from the last three digits of 412. Their question is, text question, their question is, could you explain Matthew 16:19? Does that mean Peter has authority to do something? What does the binding and loosing mean? Okay, let's read the passage so everybody in the audience will know what we're talking about here. And this is where Jesus asked the apostles, who do men say that I am, back in verse 13. And some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, some say one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? He says in verse 15. And then Peter comes back with this answer. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, Jesus answers and says to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar means son of, so Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or hell, shall not prevail against it. And so when we look at that, we see him saying that I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, what rock? What's the this modifying? Is it modifying Peter, Or is it modifying what Peter said? And that is, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, when you look and see later on, he explains this. And earlier in Matthew, he explained this, that if you will not confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father who is in heaven, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Also, Romans 10 and verse 10, confession is necessary for us to be able to be pleasing to God. So this confession that he made here is what Jesus was referring to. That is, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Their second question is, what does the binding and loosing mean? Well, it referred to in the next verse, verse 19. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In the English language, that does sound a little difficult to understand, but it has the idea, literally, that what they were going to teach was going to be taught them or come from heaven. And it, although Peter was the one that was mentioned there to have the keys of the kingdom, what does a key do? A key opens something. It was Peter that preached the very first lesson that opened the church in Acts chapter 2. We see that sermon recorded, and that opened the door of God's kingdom, his church, to the Gentiles. And by the way, did you notice there in that context, in one verse it said church, the next verse it said kingdom, and thus they're used interchangeably. Well, later on in Acts chapter 10, it was Peter again that preached the very first lesson that brought Gentiles into the kingdom, and thus he opened the kingdom of God to both Jews and Gentiles. And so we can see there that that is what he promised him. As far as binding and loosing, it was also to all the apostles. Matthew 18 and verse 18, the same language is used there to all the apostles. Surely I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So what they taught was, in fact, heaven sent from God himself. And that's what they taught and bound upon mankind to follow, and we today are still bound by that. Thank you so much for your question. I see you've already sent another question. We'll get to that in just a moment. We sure appreciate your desire to know the truth and know what God says in his word. And again, those verses were Matthew 16, 13 through 19, and then Matthew 18 and verse 18. We sure appreciate your question very much. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. The lines are available, so now's your chance. Nick?
We have a caller calling in. Carol asked a question concerning what does the Bible say about tattoos. Well, when we're talking about New Testament, we're talking about New Testament church, we don't find anything that the Bible says concerning tattoos. And probably the closest thing to that would be what we read of in Revelation chapter 13, verse 16, Revelation 14:9, where it talks about of this mark that would be in someone's hand. So it talks about a marking. Even that word mark that's translated there refers to a scratch or etching or a stamp. But there is no prohibition. That is to say, the Bible does not prohibit tattoos. Now, some may apply 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, which says, you know what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. And so your body belongs to God, and perhaps that's why a person may not choose or elect to not get a tattoo from applying that passage. So you can do with as you will concerning 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, because that is more of an application. As far as a specific passage that says you can get tattoos or you can't get tattoos, that passage does not exist in the New Testament for Christians, those who are living under the New Testament covenant. Very good question, Carol. I hope that's helpful to you, but on this particular one, you're going to have to work out your own salvation. You have to kind of take the scriptures and apply it accordingly. 308-9564 is the number to call, 308-9564 to call in your questions, or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have a caller texting in this number or this question. The question is, my husband is a deacon, but we are separated, not legally, But he lies with a woman. She is a Sunday school teacher. He gives and takes communion. The pastor doesn't correct them, indicating all are under God's grace. What should I do? Well, as far as your desire to want to do what God says, there's a couple of things. One, the greater thing that you can do is to try and get him to repent and to honor God. The book of Hosea is a story of how God worked with his people, likened unto Gomer in that book, and that he continued to work with them, trying to get them to repent. That is the noble thing that one can do, is to try and help them to get to heaven. And that would be the most noble thing that we could do in such a thing as that. However, there could be another option, being that they are in the process of committing adultery. Then Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12, shows that that does, when that is the fact, give the innocent party freedom to marry again. And so putting them away for adultery would be another option. Would it be the most noble thing? No, the most noble thing is to try and get him to heaven, along with the pastors obviously needs to repent as well, and in trying to bring about the idea of helping people to get to heaven. But that does give you another option, as I mentioned, and that's recorded in Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12, and in particular, verse 9. And so pay attention to that, and you'll see that that is the other option that is available to you there. It is sad to see that there is such blatant abuse and ignoring what God says in his word, even among church leaders. And so I mourn with you over that, but that is the condition of our world and all we can do. We can't become police and force people to do what's right. All we can do is let the Bible speak, because when it's all said and done, guess who's going to have the final word? God will. He will sort it out. And so he doesn't need us as policemen, but he does need us as those that would teach his word and spread the good news and to be living examples of this word and this will, his will, and be his light in this dark world that we're in. Thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate it very much. Again, that was the book of Hosea, the whole book, and then also Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12. The lines are now available. The answerer here is just standing here idle. Go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. It is time for us to take a break. We want you to know, as we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions, and we will let the Bible speak to the questions on your heart. And again, it's time for us to take a break. Go ahead and call your questions right now as we let the Bible speak, 308-9564. Honest course. It is free, and we are happy to be able to share it with you. It is, it'll be in tomorrow's mail, and we'll be glad to get your lessons back. We'll grade them and then send them back to you, and along with the next lessons, and it will continue until you are through with the course, and then we'll see to it that you get a certificate. And so we're just happy to be able to share these riches from God's Word with you face to face. And we want to also let you know that if you are interested in a Let the Bible Speak session there in your home or community, to go ahead and call and leave us that and request that. Say, I want to host a Let the Bible Speak in our home with my friends and neighbors. Then go ahead and do that as well. And we'll be back in touch with you, and we will make those arrangements. And we're happy to help you, for not only you, but you and your neighbors, to be able to find the truth in God's Word, and we will be glad to let the Bible speak in person. So go ahead and call and make those arrangements. We'll be in touch with you. Call the same number, 553-5157, and we will be glad to make a personal session there with you in your home. Again, that number, 553-5157. Be sure to request that when you do the recording, when you leave your name and address and phone number. But now, right now, if you have your question, go ahead and call, and we will let the Bible speak. The voice line is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283.
We have Thomas calling in today. Thomas, we sure appreciate you calling in today. Thomas says, I helped someone financially, and they did me wrong. Why was I the one to be hurt when I helped them? Well, Thomas, that's a very good question. I'm sure that many of our listeners out there, they have found themselves in similar situations where they've helped someone, and they, if you will, got the short end of the stick. But now hear what our Lord says in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, picking up in about verse 40, Jesus says, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic or your coat, he says, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and send rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So what does all this mean? God is saying in this text that we ought to do good, even to those who would misuse or the one that would despitefully persecute us, the one that would abuse us, the one that would take advantage of us. We are to do good. And thus our motivation for doing good is not the idea that they're not going to mistreat us, but rather, I'm serving God in this. I'm trying to be like God. The Bible says, be ye perfect, or be complete, like your Heavenly Father is complete. And the way God is complete is he allows his rain and he allows the sun to shine on the good and the evil. God's goodness is shown to all. His goodness is shown to all. We have to have that same mindset, allowing our goodness to be shown to all, although some will actually take advantage of us. And it's okay if they take advantage of us, because we're not doing what we do to be seen by men, but we're doing what we're doing. We do what we do to please God. That should be our motivation. That should be what provide us with joy. We know that the God of heaven sees the work that we do and know that we're doing it because he tells us to. I hope that's been helpful to you, Thomas. I know sometimes it's difficult to allow folks to misuse you. And in no way is the scripture saying to become a fool and just let people misuse you over and over and over and over again. But you're asking the question, why did you get hurt? There are going to be people who will take advantage of your goodness. But that's not a reason to stop being good. As long as you know that your Heavenly Father is the one that sees, and he will be the one that rewards you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. If you wish, you can text in your question at 725-9283, 725-9283.
We have a text question coming in from the last three digits of 899. Their question is of just what does it mean to rest? Well, I'm sure you probably want to know the biblical definition rather than the Webster's definition. And so I just went to Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, and it talks about the rest that is ahead of us. And I looked up the Greek word, and the Greek word is the word, and I know I'm pronouncing this wrong, and so forgive me, I'm not a Greek scholar, but the word is katapausa. It's the idea of kata usually means like very, and pause, we know what pause means in English, and so it has the idea of to tread down to idea to rest mightily is the idea, and so we've got to learn how to rest when and so that's talking about a rest that is still ahead of us, and so It is a reposing down, abode, a rest, cata palsy, I guess is the way to say it. And so it's a big rest. And so right now we are not commanded to rest. There is no such thing as the Sabbath rest in our day. We work for the night is coming with no man will rest. But there will be a rest of peace that is coming. The rich man and Lazarus, we see Lazarus resting in peace. And so it will come after we leave these containers. But right now, while we are in these bodies, these containers, we are to work the Lord's business, helping people to get ready to meet him face to face. Thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate it very, very much. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Nick?
Thomas had a kind of a second question, so we want to ask that question now. And Thomas says, a woman I talked to is still grieving the loss of her old boyfriend. He died, but she said she is waiting on him to come back to life. Any scriptures to help with this? Well, what we understand from the scripture is that the only time that all, if you will, be raised from the grave is when Jesus comes back. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And the word sleep that's used there refers to die or to be dead is the idea. He says, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. And so this is something that will occur at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So this idea of rising from the dead, and that will happen seemingly, according to this text, at the last trumpet. And so I'm not sure if there is a passage that can soothe her that her loved one is going to come back before then. Ricky, you have any thoughts?
Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And so that may be helpful, too.
I hope that's been helpful. Thomas, sounds like she's mourning the loss of a loved one, and we absolutely feel her pain. And all you can do is encourage her that God is over all, both the living and the dead, and he will judge both seemingly at the same time, according to this text. But we have to let death be handled by God, and the living has to go on living. I hope that's been helpful, Thomas. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Sometimes questions come in, and we just have to add a little bit of gaiety to it sometime, especially with a question like this. Nick, this is probably meant for you. Their question is, does the Bible say how long a sermon should be?
Well, a sermon can be as long as you like. That's the way I feel about it.
No, I'm sure they probably want a serious answer. Well, it does not. The Bible doesn't say anything at all about that. We do see the Sermon on the Mount occupies three chapters of Matthew, and that's probably the longest chapter, sermon that we have in the Bible. And most of the sermons in the Bible, Stephen would probably come in next after that, but most of them are a lot shorter than that. And I will try to excuse myself from this dilemma because, you know, we're not inspired, and so therefore it's going to take us more words to make ourselves clear. See, I'm just trying to make myself feel good there. But no, the Bible doesn't say how long a sermon could be. And the greatest sermons that are ever taught today are the sermons of people's lives by example. People will not listen to a word you have to say if your life is not in sync with what you're saying. So if you say one thing and do another, then, friend, you're fooling yourself by thinking that they're listening to your words. And so we've got to make certain that we are living examples of those things if we're to be heard no matter how long we are teaching God's word. Even Jesus makes a play on this, that those that were hypocrites thought that they would be heard by many words. And that's just not the case. We've got to make certain that what we're saying is what God says and that they're hearing it because who we're talking about. So thank you so much for your question. And I hope I didn't upset you by making light of that, but it just kind of hits us so square between the eyes sometimes that we had to approach it that, or I had to approach it that way. Thank you so much for your question, though. The Bible doesn't say how long. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Nick, you have another question?
Yeah, someone called about Psalms 32 and said, please explain about the arrow. And the note we have here is that you did not know the exact verse. When I looked at Psalms 32, I did not see a reference to arrow. And there's several chapters in the book of Psalms that does talk about arrows, so it's difficult for me to determine which passage that you are interested in. So if you could call back and just give maybe a portion of that verse or maybe clarify whether or not it's actually Psalms 32, then we can try to answer that question. I apologize that we are unable to answer it at this point. It is time for us to take a break, and even while we are at break, we want to encourage you to call in your question. The numbers, again, is 308-9564 to call here at the station, 308-9564, or you can call our, or you can text our text line. You could call it, but we probably wouldn't answer it. So text us at 725-9283, 725-9283. We'll be right back. Five five three 5157 is the number in order to sign up for our free correspondence course, a Bible study that you can do in your home. We encourage you to take advantage of that. I know that some of you listening have already signed up, and so we encourage more to do that. There are no strings attached. We send it to you in the mail, and you are able to study at your own pace. If you want more material, we try to make that available to you. The entire intent is to give you the tools that you need in order to grow and the knowledge and wisdom of our Lord. So that's our intent, and we're hopeful that this study will be a help to you. It's been a help to many other people. So go ahead and call 553-5157 to sign up for that correspondence course. Again, that number is 553-5157. To call on your question here at the station, go ahead and call 308-9564. Your question can be written down and brought in to us, or you can go on the air. We encourage you to turn your radio down if you're going to go on the air before you ask your question to prevent any feedback from your radio. Again, to call us right now here at the station is 308-9564. If you wish to send us a text question, send that to 725-9283.
We have a couple of text questions from the same person here. And so the first one is the last three digits are 378. Their question is, what are the correct titles that should be used to refer to officials and members of the church? Well, here, and again, I'm not making light of your question. Here's the answer. Do you get it? Did you hear that? That's it. There are no titles to refer to any official or church member here on earth. Now, there are many titles to refer to the one in charge of his church. There are some of them, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Messiah, the Emmanuel, the first and the last, Savior, the great physician, and the list goes on. Over 100 different names and titles refer to the one who purchased the church with his own blood. He said, I will build my church. So he owns it. He's the Savior of the body, the Messiah, the Holy One. And we heard a lesson on he's the Lord this morning where we gather. And so there are many others. And so he's the one that deserves all. Well, I know what you're thinking. Well, what about the members? Well, the apostles never had a title. Now, they were referred to themselves as apostles, but they never referred to themselves as the Apostle Paul. Oh, I know, I've even said that before. But when you start looking at the way they referred to themselves in the Bible, start with the book of Romans and go all the way through the New Testament. And every writer says, for example, I'm looking at one, Galatians 1:1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And so he says an apostle with a little a. It's not a title. They never referred to themselves in titles. Evangelist, it was Philip the evangelist. And so those are descriptions of what they are doing. Elders, pastors, overseers, never used as a title. So hopefully that helps you. Matter of fact, we see the exact principle of how that would be wrong. Moses, when Moses said in the Old Testament, "Must we fetch water out of this rock?" God rebuked him and Aaron for saying that, taking glory away from God. And they were not allowed to go into the promised land. Now, if Moses was rebuked for taking glory and honor away from God, what about us today? Yeah. Even heathens, those that are not children of God, were held to this standard as well. In Acts chapter 12, Herod failed to honor God when the people shouted, "This is the voice of God and not of man." And God struck him dead, having him eaten by worms. So, if a heathen, that someone that is not God-fearing, would be punished by God for taking glory away from God, then what about people that ought to know better? Oh, the judgment will be much worse for them. So that was Acts chapter 12, where Herod was eaten of worms. And then the first of every book in the New Testament. Just glance through, take your Bible, look, and you'll see there are no titles for children of God. We are all brothers. We're all equal. There is no such thing as race, but all men everywhere in every nation that fear him will be accepted by him. That's Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. So I hope that's helpful to you. I know you got another question, but we'll pass it off and I'll come right back to your question. Again, the number is 3089564. Call in your question right now. We do have time. Go ahead and call in your question and we will let the Bible speak. Nick, you've got one?
Yes, Catherine calls in. She says, "What is the purpose of communion?" So that word communion carries with the idea of fellowship, or the Greek word is koinonia. And we refer to it typically as the Lord's Supper. It is a time where the church comes together to partake of the memorial that Jesus left or put in place. In Matthew chapter 26, this is one place where we see him putting it in place. In Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and says, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" So the bread represented his body. "And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he drank it and said to them, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant.'" So the bread represents his body. That body that was tortured on the cross, and the drink or the fruit of the vine represents his blood. It was the blood of a new covenant. He was ushering in a new covenant in his death. He says, "Which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And so at least we see some idea about these emblems. But now what is the purpose? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, it says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" This idea of communion is fellowship. You're fellowshipping with the blood of Christ. He says, "The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" And so you're fellowshipping with the body of Christ. And thus the church was to join in communion or fellowship with Christ by breaking the bread and drinking the cup. And both the bread and the cup, these emblems had specific meaning, as we've looked at earlier. It's already been outlined. In verse 17, it goes on to say, "For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." The final passage that may help us in understanding what's the purpose of it is what's recorded in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So here's what Paul says, "For I received," in verse 23, "for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and says, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Again, the bread refers to his body. And he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And verse 25, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, 'This cup is the new testament or the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Verse 26 is key. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And so the communion is a proclamation of the death of Jesus until he comes. It was something to be done until he returns. And thus, every church that is a church that belongs to Christ, it's a church that is his, on the first day of the week, they gather together to remember his death until he comes. Acts 20 and verse 7 shows us that this is the time that the disciples came together to do that. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have this question, text question come in. Do we collect yearly taxes, taxes on offerings given to the church? I'm not certain if I understand your question or not, but if you're asking, should we take tax deductions on our offerings that we give to the church? I'm going to assume that that's what your question means. And the answer to that is we have to obey the laws of the land. And so when we give to the church, we can choose to just give a cash offering, if that is something we choose to do, and not have any accountability to that. Giving to the Lord is not the same as giving alms, where Christ says in Matthew chapter 6, not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. That is helping the poor and showing that it cannot be for show. But as far as being accountable and being a good steward, if we can be able to save and be a good steward over the things that we are blessed with, then the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25 certainly applies there. And so part of that would be if we can make sure we handle it in such a way to where that we're accountable, that we can give records. Well, it is our choice that whether we can turn in those records or show where that those contributions have been made to the Lord or not. We can choose to do that. It's our choice. But it is not a sin. As long as we're not breaking a law, we can make certain that we give an accounting to the government for those things, especially if that will keep us from having to throw more money at a government that is not using it very effectively. And so that seems to be, as long as we are obeying the law, there's nothing wrong with that. Some people have a conscience problem with that. Well, James 4:17 says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so then it would be a sin for them because it would violate their conscience. But if that you understand that it is not the same as giving alms, then maybe that is you're fine with that. So it would be up to you. Now, if I got your question all wrong, please go ahead and text again to make it clear, and we'll approach it the way that you meant. Again, the number is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. And we are more than happy to do that. So go ahead. We've got one more segment left after the next break. And if you are interested in receiving the Bible Correspondence Course, we are more than happy to send this to you. We're about to take a break to tell you the details on that, and we've got 15 more minutes where it will go directly to the computer to record your name and address, and we are happy to get these in the mail to you. You very well may learn some things in God's Word that you've never heard before. And the good thing about getting it in the mail like this is you can get it in the mail, and then if you wake up in the middle of the night, you can sit down and study and have time with God, studying God's Word, listening to what God says, and be able to get a great deal of good out of that, filling out the questions that are just mainly intended to try and help you stay on track in your study, and send those to us. We'll grade it, send the next lesson to you. And by the way, every lesson is progressively more challenging. And so the first lesson, I know some of y'all get that and just throw it aside because it seems so simple. But we do not know where you're at in your spiritual growth. What may seem simple to you may be very difficult for some others. And so it starts off simple, and then it continues to grow in the challenge. And so please go ahead and call the operator or call the phone number 553-5157 and get this Bible course in the mail to you free of charge. It'll even be in tomorrow's mail. We'll never ask for a contribution of any kind, nor a tithe, nor an offering, or any kind of financial help whatsoever, because it is our honor to share with you the wealth that God has given us all in His Word. And you may not be receiving that full treasure chest that God wants you to have. Now, I'm not talking about money that perishes over time. I'm talking about the treasure of eternal blessings that only God can give. So why not call, get that treasure in your heart by studying His Word with the Correspondence Course. The number, 553-5157. Here's the details on it. If you've already got the course, Continue calling in your questions, and we will let the Bible speak. The number, 308-9564. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We're glad that you have taken out your Sunday afternoon. And, you know, it's extremely, we're extremely excited that you can stay awake during all of this. Sunday afternoon is known for, that's nap time. But for you to hang with us and to be able to stay with us with an open Bible and ask these questions, oh, how proud we are of you. And that says something about your heart. And we hope and pray that you are being blessed, not from us, but from God himself, as we see what God says in his word. And so thank you for joining us and being with us this afternoon as we go to the Bible for all the answers to that are on your mind. Again, the number is 308-9564. That line is available. There's no calls on it right now, so you can call and be next in line, 308-9564. And the text line is 725-9283. Nick, you have a question?
Yes, well, Rosalie calls in today. She says, when you dream about someone who is dead and they are speaking to you, what does that mean? Well, Rosalie, that's a good question, and I really don't have an answer for that. What came to my mind is the time period of Joseph in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 40 and verse 8, there is one question that Joseph asked when he was asked concerning a dream. And he says, does not interpretation of dreams belong to God? And so that's where we're going to have to leave it. We have to leave that in the hands of God. I cannot, or we cannot interpret dreams, not by going to the scriptures and finding a passage that would interpret your dream. Our focus has been, and we'll try to continue to hold to this, to just let the Bible speak on the questions on your heart. And so, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to help you in that, because interpretation of dreams, that belongs to God. But we do appreciate you calling in, and we hope that you will continue to call in your questions. And that, and again, we will try to hold to just letting the Bible speak to the questions on your heart. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. This is our last segment, so you have probably about 10 minutes, if that, to go ahead and get your question in. The line is pretty quiet back there, so if you call right now, chances are you'll be first in line to get your question written down and brought in to us. 308-9564 is the number, 308-9564, and we'll let the Bible speak.
We have a text question coming in. It actually is a follow-up from his previous text 2 weeks ago. His text 2 weeks ago was, why were angels going up and down in the ladder in Jacob's dream? I think we answered it on that broadcast to answer their question today. Did you respond to why angels were going up and down in the ladder in Jacob's dream? And yes, we did answer that. And my answer is, we don't know. We have no clue, no connection. There seems to be no significance to that, save that Jacob was chosen by God to be the father of his nation, of his people. And so that shows that there was certainly a plan for Jacob and his family lineage, that Christ was going to come through Jacob. Later his name changed to, or actually in that event, his name was changed to Israel, God with us. And so you get the idea there that that maybe that is it, nothing more. Now, I know a lot of people will take that and run with it and develop a sermon and talk for a long time on that, or come up with something. But I know of no reference to connect that to other events other than Jacob was called to be a father of a nation like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that they were to be, that the Christ, the Messiah, was supposed to come through his loins, namely through Judah, his son, and then all the way down to the New Testament where Christ was brought. So there's really more than that I do not know, and I just wish I knew more about that. I just don't know, and I have not seen any significant argument to give more meaning to that. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it. And thank you for hanging in with us week after week. And we appreciate your interest in God's Word. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. We can take in another question, so go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, or text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind.
We had a call that came in earlier asking about Psalm 32 and says, please explain the arrow. And we asked that the caller would call back to give more details. But in while we wait on that, there is a passage in Psalms chapter 127, in Psalms 127 that does talk about arrows. And at least this is what I thought of when I saw the notation on the card to explain the arrows. In Psalms chapter 27, and this may not be what you were looking for, but we have a little time, and so I'm happy to try to talk a little bit about Psalms 127 and verse 4. It says, starting verse 3, behold, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Like arrows are in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. At least in this text, arrows refer to the children, and in the mighty man would be parents. And their job is to pull back on their children, if you will, and to release them and connect them back to God. Children come from God, and it is our obligation to connect them back to God. And so sometimes as parents, we think that if I choose to ignore God or to go off and to do some ungodly things, the only person that I'm affecting is myself. That is to overlook the obligation to connect your children back to God. You're not just impacting yourself, you're impacting those children. According to this passage, you're supposed to be a mighty warrior. You're supposed to be able to pull back on your children and connect them back to God. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty warrior, so are children of the youth. And we have to, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who have children out there, we have to connect our children back to God. And that starts by getting ourselves right as soon as we can. Join us right now, 308-9564, 308-9564. And as always, we will try to just let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart. Let us take this time and opportunity to make mention of our website. We have a website that's available to you. We encourage you to go to www.biblealone.com, www.biblealone.com. That is available resource to you to be able to download and listen to previous recordings of the Bible, of the broadcast, and to be able to validate whether the things that we've said in time past are in fact accurate. You can go at your own pace and you can read the scriptures just to make sure that the things that we're saying are in fact so. We encourage you to take this kind of approach in listening to any other broadcast. Make sure the things that people are saying are in fact so. Don't follow man, follow God. That is our encouragement to you. God never gets it wrong, but man, we get it wrong all the time. We get it wrong. In fact, there are times where we're stammering on this show, and sometimes we get the wrong passage. We get it wrong. That's what man does. And that's why you want to check it out so that your faith does not lie in man, but within the living God.
One more follow-up verse concerning the last question I was talking about, Jacob's ladder, is John chapter 1 and verse 51. Similar language is referring to the Son of God there. It says, and he said to them, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So there's a parallel, although it doesn't mention ladder in that passage. Again, could be referring to the Christ, the Son of God, and how the angels were continually ministering to them. And another passage, Hebrews 1:14 comes to mind, talking about angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto those who will inherit eternal life? So not only did they minister to Jesus, but it also suggests they are ministering to us as well. Here's a question that was just called in. What is the purpose of my life? I've had multiple miscarriages, and now I've adopted my child. Why did this happen, and when I have been trying to do what is right? Well, I'm so sorry that you've had to go through this. It is always the ultimate heartbreak whenever a child is lost that way. There have been several in my family as well, and so it is always a heartbreaking event, but there is a positive side to that, knowing that every child that dies in a pure state, they are God's children. They've never separated from God, and they belong to God. And so you can meet them face to face, no matter how many there have been, one day. And so if you will just serve the Lord, be found in Christ, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, then you can see them that you did not get to know to begin with. But why has this happened? Well, see if Ecclesiastes 9:11 helps. Ecclesiastes 9:11 says, I returned and saw unto the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Sometimes that's just the way time and chance occurs. And there's 1,000 ways that we could illustrate that, but it doesn't mean any omen from God or he's out for you or anything such as that, but time and chance does happen. And so that may be of some comfort to you, knowing that God is not against you. He is for us. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And so please keep that in mind, that he does not tempt man or punish man. Right now he's the Savior. And one day he's going to be the executor of wrath, but right now he desires for all men to repent and come to a knowledge of the truth. You obviously have a desire to have happiness and joy and fulfillment. Please know it won't come from physical things, including children, or money, or prosperity, or position. It'll only come by yielding to your Creator's touch, to be letting him design us in the way that we were designed to be, obediently loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that involves being content in this life. Please seek after answers, but not in church doctrines, not from experiences, and not from church leaders, but rather what we should do is find the answers in God's Word as we let the Bible speak.